الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربه تبارك وتعالى إلى أن قال وما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها وإن سألني أعطيته ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected elders, ulama-i kiram, beloved brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah who is our sustainer, our nourisher. Allah who is the provider and the protector. And salutations be upon our beloved master, Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhireen, Ahmad al-Mujtaba, Muhammad al-Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a million, million times over. My dear respected elders and friends, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everyone's Ramadan. May Allah ta'ala accept everybody's ibadat, everyone's acts of worship, our taraweeh, our fasting, our Quran tilawa, our charity, and so on. My dear respected elders and friends, some 90 odd days back, we may remember that the Imam, after the Salah, started engaging in a certain dua. He said, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Ya Allah, bless us in Rajab, Sha'ban. Ya Allah, and you take us as far as the month of Ramadan. So the ulama say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was conditioning the minds of the ummah that now we are entering into season. We are now entering into season. So Rajab is here, and then Sha'ban is here, and then come Ramadan, this is an accepted fact that it is the most superior month from the 12 months of the year. Therefore, Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali said that if you take the blessings and the noor of the other 11 months of the year and you put them together, it will not equal to the barakat and the blessings of the single month of Ramadan. So Allah Ta'ala gave us this Mubarak month, and we know that the objective of this is taqwa, which we can say every person needs to introspect that this has to become a point of a spiritual reformation in the life of a believer. Now every person himself independently can ask that how much have I progressed? I like this word. Very often when I speak from the Jummah Mimbar, I like this word progress. How much have I advanced in terms of my religious affairs? So before we come to that aspect, so the month of Ramadan came upon us, and then you have the first 20 days of the month of Ramadan. And then the last Ashara, we know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to totally devote himself, such that he used to leave his family. And Aisha radiallahu anha says that he would exert himself much more than the first 20 days. So aqadha ahla, he'll wake the entire family up. Wajadda, and now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam really, really exerted himself. And washadd al-mi'zar, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam abstained from many, many permissible activities as well. So, my brothers, in this last 10 days, Allah Ta'ala has given a special gift to the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I have given you a single night. And Rasulullah SAW said that you have to search for it, taharraw. So it will occur in one of the odd nights in the last 10 days of this month of Ramadan. Nonetheless, if a person was fortunate enough to stand up in ibadah, a person will receive the reward of standing up for 1,000 months, Laylatul Qadr khayrum min alfi shahr, which equates to 28,800 days. Thus, if a person was fortunate enough, then that is what a person has achieved. Anyway, my brothers, the objective of today's discussion is that every one of us needs to introspect and ask ourselves that now, post the month of Ramadan, where do I stand in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the million-dollar question that every one of us needs to be asking ourselves. So the ayat that I have recited is a small passage which appears in the 11th juz of the Quran, where Allah ta'ala says that, Ala, inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. So today's topic of discussion is that, how can I become the friend of Allah? How do I become the friend of Allah? A wali of Allah. You know, when people speak of friendship, they say, that guy was my real friend, man. He'll do anything for me. He'll go beyond the call. He'll even take a bullet for me. So that is friendship, to show closeness. Now what about our friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where do I stand in my friendship with Allah? So Allah is saying, Ala inna awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. There's no fear for them, nor any grief. And then it comes back to our discussion of the month of Ramadan, alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. That is for those people who believe and they are constant upon this quality of taqwa and Allah consciousness, or the fear of Allah. So firstly, Allah Ta'ala says there will be no fear for them, nor will they grieve. So the Mufassirin have tendered two explanations. One is Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma says that a person, before he leaves this world, and Allah Ta'ala makes mention of this in another part of the Quran, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels will come down and will give a person reassurance already in this world that now you have the natural inherent fear of death, which all of us do have. Every person fears death. What's going to happen? And what's going to happen beyond that? As well as a person fears over all, you know, the attachments which a person is leaving behind. What about my family, my children, and all the various associations? So Allah Ta'ala will send down the angels that Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu. Now don't worry about it. Don't fear. Don't grieve. We are here. And Allah is there. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ. A person attained this true quality that he had, you know, acquired this true quality of the rububiyat and the lordship of Allah, the true faith in Allah. So Allah is there. You are leaving the world. You are only the zahiri, and you are only the apparent means. So the angels will come and reassure him that, don't worry, everything is in order. We are here. Allah has sent us. So Allah تَخَافُ وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. And Jannat is for you. You worked your entire life. You strove. You toiled for this Jannah. Your every day, your every night. Every time you jumped in your car, you came to the masjid. Every time you made Umrah, you made Hajj. Every time you raised your hand, you asked for Jannah. This is it. Rejoice over glad tidings of Jannah. Allati kuntum tu'adun. And then they will say, Nahnu awliya'ukum fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. We are with you in the worldly life as well as the akhirah. And in Jannah, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِ أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. Whatever you desire, whatever you desire, not like the world, you have to work and work and work, and there's still no guarantee that you will receive it. So anyway, coming back to the ayat of Surah Yunus, Allah Ta'ala says, Ala, hearken, open your ears. Ala inna awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. And then Allah Ta'ala says, Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Those who believe and they were constant upon this practice of taqwa. So now, my brothers, the ulama state that every person, on the basis of his iman, just by the fact that he has iman, every person already to some extent has a level of friendship with Allah. But to take it now to the highest level, where a person becomes very close, and that was the hadith which I quoted to you. We'll come to that inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala says that to become the very close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that a person is mustajabud da'wat. Every time a person needs to talk to Allah, Allah is there. So Allah Ta'ala says, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. When Allah Ta'ala ordains something, then it will always be. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And if you have received this, this is the grand, grand triumph. This is the greatest success. There can be nothing greater than this. So my brothers, the big question is that how to become the friend of Allah. You know, sometimes when we speak about the friend of Allah, a person thinks that, you know what, this is something which is unreachable. You know, we are just ordinary people. How am I going to reach there? This is for those guys. This is for those guys up there. This is for those guys on, you know, on higher levels. Whereas my brothers, every person on the ilaqa of iman, on the basis of iman, he already has some level of wilayat. He is already on some level of friendship with Allah. So there are three things that a person has to bring in his life. And my brothers, always remember that the effort to become the friend of Allah is a lifelong effort. It's a daily, weekly, monthly, annual, and a lifelong effort. A person has to be relentless, non-stop, every day, every moment a person has to be trying. And those who become the friends of Allah, this is how they achieve it. So the first thing, my brothers, that the ulama mentioned is that a person has to be constant on those things which are of a compulsory nature in our deen. Those things which a person has to fulfill, which comprises of three things. Number one is the fara'id, the wajibat, and the sunan mu'akkada. Those things, the fara'id, for example, our salah, our fasting, our zakah, hajj. And then, alongside with this, all those other things which are fard that a person has to execute practice. Then those things which are wajib, for example, our udhiyah, our qurbani, the witr salah, and the many other practices which are wajib. And the sunan mu'akkada, these are the emphasized sunnats. In other words, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, most of the time, 99% of the time, he practiced upon it, and just now and then he left it out. Thus, should a person have a valid excuse, then it will be permissible for a person to leave it out. So a person has to fulfill these things. So if we find in the lives of the friends of Allah, they always gave due importance. Now look at, for example, Salah as an example, my brothers. It's not my intention to speak about Salah. This is an independent, independent discussion on its own. And there are so many angles that a person can, unpack this discussion. But my brothers, let's just look at it from this one angle. That Alhamdulillah, we came through the month of Ramadan. Every one of us, Alhamdulillah, we can say that, you know, we feel spiritually recharged. Because a person increases his observances in the month of Ramadan as opposed to other months. Now, I give the example. I say that in the month of Ramadan, we read 20 rakats of Taraweeh every night. But what happens immediately from the day of Eid? How much of Nafl Salah am I reading in my life? Now my brothers, if a person just has to factorize something and you break it down, then it's very easy to achieve. Now if I have to tell you that, you know what, I want you to maintain 20 rakats even after the month of Ramadan, person will think, oh, impossible man. With my program, very difficult. But brothers, let's break it down. If a person, Allah Ta'ala give everyone the tawfiq, if a person can wake up tahajjud time and he reads 4. After the sun comes up, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you read 4 over there, you'll receive the full reward of Hajj and Umrah. Then mid-morning, we can say the time between about 9:30 and 11, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to perform Salah. After Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam conquered Makkah, he went and he stood in front of the Kaaba after many years and he read 8 rakats. They say that this is Salatul Duha. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read this as a token of appreciation to Allah upon the bounty of being able to conquer and return back to his birthplace after many years. Anyway, the other thing, my brothers, as it is recorded in narrations, there is a close link between this salah, the salah of at the time of mid-morning, and a person's rizq, a person's sustenance. People work, we toil, we strive day and night. But Allah Ta'ala is saying that the link is here. You standing, you waiting for customers the whole day. But you read the four rakats at that time, Allah will send the customers. Allah will send one or two big customers. So Allah Ta'ala is reminding you that we are in charge. So that already takes a person to 12. With the Zuhr Salah you read another 2 or 4, that's 16. Before Asr, 2 or 4. That's already 20. After Maghrib, after Isha. So it can be easily done. It boils down to my brothers, each of us making the decision that I want to effect this change in my life. Now let's look at the power that Allah Ta'ala has kept in Salah. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that مَا دُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتٍ فَأَنْتَ تَقْرَعُ بَابَ الْمَلِكِ. As long as you are in Salah, you are knocking the door of the greatest sovereign. مَا دُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتٍ فَأَنْتَ تَقْرَعُ بَابَ الْمَلِكِ وَمَنْ يَقْرَعُ بَابَ الْمَلِكِ يَفْتَحُ لَهُ. If you knock that door, Allah will never disappoint you. Allah will never disappoint you. This is Salah, my brothers. So those which are compulsory, and taking it now to the next level, that we increase our nafal during the day. And we know, my brothers, that the nafal Allah Ta'ala has ordained, that should there be any kind of nooks, any kind of shortfall in a person's fard, then this will be the atonement. Let's take fasting as an example. We fasted the month of Ramadan. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you fasted the month of Ramadan, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَهُ سِتَّمْ مِنْ شَوَّالِ, you followed it up with an additional 6 in the month of Ramadan, then كَانَ كَسْيَامِ الدَّهَرِ, you'll receive the reward of fasting your entire life. Subhanallah. You fasted 30 in Ramadan, and just an additional 6. Now my brothers, the ulama say that 30 you fasted, and an additional 6. According to the lunar calendar, there are 360 days in the month of Ramadan. This is special for the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that for every action you do, you will receive minimum 10 times the reward. So you fasted 30 days in Ramadan, that's the reward of 300 days. And an additional 6, 360. And if you do this year in, year out, it is as though you fasted your entire life. So my brothers, it's already 8th or 9th, I think. We have about 3 weeks left. Every Monday and Thursday, you can fast it. However it suits you, you can fast them together, separately, you'll receive this great reward. Zakah, my brothers, same. Inna fil mali haqqan siwa zakah. Allah gave you the full 100%. 2.5% Allah is asking for back. 97.5% you use it for yourself in a permissible way. But my brothers, remember also, this is a very important thing. Many people ask many masail with regards to zakah in the month of Ramadan. That it's not something that a person just uses his discretion or a person takes out something. No, these are maqadir. These are specified amounts in the sharia that it has to be 2.5%. Thus, my brothers, please, when we're doing our calculation, get a form from a mufti, fill it, and go over there and ask him exactly how do I execute payment of my zakah. Sometimes people feel, no, it's month of Ramadan, no, there's more reward. I'm just taking out some money, and you know what? Hey, let's go and distribute some alim. Allahu Akbar. My brothers, Quran specifies that there are various classes only that you can give your zakah to. You can't just give it to anyone. A person who is not deserving cannot receive it. Anyway, it's not my discussion to speak about. It's not my intention to speak about this. And then Hajj, my brothers. Hajj, here also, it's a misnomer amongst people that, you know what, Hajj, I'll do in the latter part of my life. Now, I always mention 2 points with regards to this. The first thing, my brothers, is that you're going to put this thing off till you're an old bali. When we went for Hajj, we saw that many people in advanced age, really, my brothers, with the heat and with the crowds and so on, people can't make it physically. They don't have the strength. And the second thing, my brothers, is that you have made a small intention. Because you make intention that Allah Ta'ala, you take me to your house frequently. Rasulullah SAW said that if you made the intention, you need to hasten. Man arad al hajj fal yata'ajjal. Go quickly and do it. Don't wait, because this is something which is fard. So anyway, coming back to our discussion, my brothers, that the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they give due importance to the fara'id, as well as the wajibat, as well as the sunan mu'akkada. Then the second thing, my brothers, is that a person gives due importance to additional observances. So those things which there's no real accountability should a person not do it, But being the friend of Allah, a person strives to fulfill it. The additional observances, for example, lots of Quran tilawa, lots of dua, lots of nafil salah. Why? Because a person enjoys that friendship with Allah. Now my brothers, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, we took out time, we recited the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's ask us in this few days of Shawwal, how many of us are opening the kalam of Allah? When last did we? You know, the sages used to say that if you want to speak to Allah, then you must engage in salah. If you want to speak to Allah, engage in salah. And if you want Allah to speak to you, then open Allah's kalam. Open the kalam of Allah. This which is the salvation of the ummah, if a person is not even reciting it, and this is just one haq and just one right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we open his kalam, if that much we are not doing, my brothers, then how do we ever expect ourselves to be linked with Allah? The kalam of Allah, the word of Allah, kalamullah. So my brothers, every day let us make it a duty that some time we dedicate. Leave the home early when we're coming for Isha Salah. 10-15 minutes I'm going to come here. After the Isha Salah, there's no rush. 10-15 minutes, inshallah, we recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing, the third thing, is that a person makes an effort on his heart. The third trait of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that a person is always talking to his heart. What is the condition of my heart? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith that Allah wa inna fil jasadi la mudgha. There's a lump of flesh within you, inside. If it is in order, then everything will be in order. And if it is corrupt, then everything will be corrupt. Now my brothers, let's ask ourselves. Fir'aun was one individual. The fortune tellers told him that there's going to be one child born in the Bani Israel. He's going to come and take your kingdom. Quran says mercilessly he slaughtered the children. Mercilessly. One person's corrupt heart. If every person's heart is in order, then my brothers, this world will be a Jannah. This world will be a Jannah. My brothers, so a person talks to his heart all the time. First thing is that a person puts the true faith in Allah. Everything happens with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. A person has full reliance in Allah. We earn our livelihood, but we have to be reminding ourselves that Allah comes first. That's why they say, one person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wanted to go and, you know, he had some business interests. So he came to make mashwara. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't stop him, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diverted his attention that first go and read two rakats of salah. So your faith has to be in Allah. This is things related to the heart. And then my brothers, those which are the maladies and the sicknesses of the heart, that too a person has to clean up. You know, what happens when a person has a clogged drain at home? A clogged drain, that water starts coming up. And how pleasant is that sight? We all know. So now when there's dirt in the heart, then dirt starts coming out. It becomes manifest on our tongue, in our eyes, in our hands, in our actions, in our character. This is how it happens. Focus on this one narration with regards to the heart. Nabi Sallam told Anas radiallahu anhu, O Anas, innaka in qadarta an tusbiha wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin faf'al. Everybody is talking about my sunnah. Everybody is claiming to be my ashiq. Everybody says they love me. Everybody is saying my sunnah. Let me tell you, O Anas, if you can wake up in the morning and you haven't processed anything in this heart. وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌ. There's no dirt. There's no filth. There's no rancor. There's no animosity. There's no hatred. Sometimes, my brothers, we're carrying this thing from when? Somebody in 1945 took our inheritance money away. We carrying it from our father, from our grandfather, from our great-grandfather. It's over, my brothers. And sometimes, if you come to see what they're fighting for, it's one half plot. And four generations down the line, that thing is worth 2,000. But you carry the grudge in your heart. It's over, my brothers. You make effort, Allah will give you your own. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Anas, innaka in qadarta an tusbiha wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin. There must be no rancor, let there be no dirt in this heart. وَذَٰلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِي. This is my sunnat. This is my sunnat. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. If you love my sunnat, you love me. And if you love me, you will be with me in Jannah. This is it. I'm translating this narration one more time. Oh Anas, if you can wake up in the morning and there is no dirt in your heart, there's no rancor, there's no ill feelings, your heart is clean, you have cleaned your heart with regards to the creation of Allah, then ensure that you do so, because this is my sunnah. This is my sunnah. And if you, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ sunnati, if you love my sunnah, you love me. And if you love me, you will be with me in Jannah. So my brothers, these are three efforts, inshallah, we need to make, you know, to become the friends of Allah. That we are constant with those practices which are of a compulsory and a mandatory nature. The second thing, my brothers, is the additional observances a person strives and he exerts himself. And the third thing, a person is constantly talking to his heart. We make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from his friends. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.